know there was kind of a mess in town, but we can definitely use the moisture. And just thank you for just how this world works, how you've designed it. And Father, I pray this morning that as we continue to look at your word, as we continue to work our way through 1 Timothy and we look at the roles of deacons this morning, Father, I pray that you would just help us to have understanding. Help us to understand your word, to be able to take it and then apply it. And to realize that as we look at some of these things like this one and last week specifically, elders and deacons, yet you've called all your people to be of high character and integrity and to love others and to show you through the way you live, through the way we live. And so, Father, help us to take these things and apply them to our own lives. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are continuing in 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 13 this morning. And last week we dealt with elders, and this week we're going to be looking at deacons. So starting right off, let's read the passage there. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 8. 1 Timothy 3, 8, it says, "Deacons, likewise," in other words, it was talking about elders and now they're going into deacons. "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." So that word deacon, the Greek word diakonos, basically has this idea of one who executes the commands of another. It has the idea of a slave. And in this culture, they would have really understood that. This idea of being a slave. And that wasn't something, just like today, it wasn't something back then that you wanted to be. You didn't want to be a slave. You had this low view of slaves. Yet what we see over and over in the New Testament is we are called to be bond servants, slaves to Christ. We are called to be servants, to consider others more important than ourselves. This term likewise, so like I said, we were looking at the elders and their qualifications and what they were supposed to do, and then it says likewise deacons. So in other words, deacons are to be like them also, to have those same qualities, those same qualifications. And then it goes right into the qualifications. It says they're to be dignified or worthy of respect, not to be double-tongued. In Matthew 5:37, it says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Say yes and say no. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't say one thing to one group and another thing to another group. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not be addicted to much wine. And we looked at that term last week where it had that idea of having it near. And you think about just addictions in general. If you can separate yourself from whatever that addiction is, you'll be much better off. That's part of the whole beginning of it, getting away from the addiction. Keeping yourself separated from it. Don't put yourself into that place where you're going to be tempted. Having a right attitude towards money. Not having a greedy attitude, but having that kind of that open-handed attitude. That it's everything you have is what God gave you. Beyond reproach or blameless. Not perfect. Not perfect, but beyond reproach. Not having anything at the moment that someone can come and say, "Well, I don't know that they're qualified." Keeping short accounts with men and with God. It then takes a little bit of a turn here and it says, "Women must likewise." So there's three ideas here, or there may be more, but there's three general ideas. So it's talking about women. So can women be deacons? I believe... We're going to find out this morning whether they should be or not. There's three ideas on this. One of them being they're the wives of deacons or the wives of elders and leaders, but that's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't say, if it were that case, then in front of women, it would be like the women or the wives. And it doesn't say that. It's saying women or wives must likewise. Another idea might be that it's just speaking to women in general. Probably not, because if you remember back, we saw things about women earlier, right? In Paul's, in 1 Timothy, where he was talking about women in the church and that kind of a thing. There would be no reason to really repeat something differently here. And then the third one being that they're deacons, or what some might call deaconesses, that they serve in the role as a deacon, as someone who is a servant leader. And that's the stand that we would take here, because we do have ladies who serve as deacons. And I think, looking at Scripture, that is what it's saying. That it is not talking about the wives of leaders. It's not talking about just women in general, but it is talking about a woman serving as a deacon. Here's their qualifications. And then it goes on to give those qualifications, that they should be dignified. In other words, worthy of respect. Not malicious gossips. Now, the Greek word for this term is diabolos. In other words, has the connotation of devil. And where it's going to is that issue of Satan being the false accuser. But that's the Greek term they use for malicious gossips. It would be devil. They need to be temperate. Temperate, we saw that term last week. Not intoxicated. In control of their faculties and their senses. Not letting other things having control over them. And then they must be faithful in everything. So as we're looking at these qualifications, we need to look at them as... It's not separated into here's how the men are to be and here's how the women to be. It's really here's how everybody should be. And even beyond the leaders of the church, this is how we all should be. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, these should be our qualifications. Goes on to talk about their home life, that they're to be good managers of their home, managing their children, managing their households. And to have one spouse. It says the husband of one wife, but if we're talking about women also, it would be spouse. They're to have one spouse. That commitment to one person. Bless you. And then their church or their spiritual life. Looking back then to verse 9, it says, excuse me, but holding to the mystery of the faith, with a clear conscience. They must be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They must be confident in that gospel. And with that would then come a clear conscience, being able to say, this is absolutely what I believe. And because this is what I believe, then this is also the way I live. It's that picture again of, you know, double-tongued. Or, you know, in one environment do you act one way, in another environment do you act another way? You need to have that clear conscience to say, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe the gospel, I'm confident in it, and that's how I live my life no matter where I am or who I'm with. And they need to be on the same page or be on mission in the church with all the leadership. need to all be playing off of the same sheet of music. Because if you're not, sounds rather interesting. Some people would call that jazz, but... But all of the leadership especially, operating off the same page, all being going in the same direction. Very important. And then their life in the world, that they should have a good reputation. We're going to go back to Acts 6. And this is where we first see deacons being put into place. So Acts chapter 6, looking at verse 3 to start with. So a good reputation in the world. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So in other words, look around in the group, and you're going to know who's qualified. You're going to know those people that kind of stand out from the crowd, that they have that good reputation. And then how are they selected? We see this, we see this in verse 3, and then also in 1 Timothy 3:8, we see the qualifications. In verse 10 of 1 Timothy 3, it talks about them being tested. Verse 10 says, verse 10 says, these men must also first be tested, and let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. That term tested. The Greek word that they use for that has to do with melting metal. So like to test to see how valuable like a piece of gold was, you melt it and then see how it behaves. What kind of stuff comes out of it? You know, is there stuff you got to skim off the top because it's not pure? And it has that same idea. Testing. Seeing if they're truly worthy. It has the idea of warriors in battle. You know, someone who's been battle-tested. Leaders under adversity. They've been tested through the hard stuff. And then the qualifications, which we looked at earlier, is part of the selection process. And then Acts 6:6, being approved. So the apostles went to the group and said, okay, this task needs to be done. And so they selected these guys. And then in Acts 6:6 it says, and these they brought before the apostles. And after praying, they laid their hands on them. So not only were they approved by the group of people that were there, they were approved by the leaders, by the apostles. So what's their job? What is it that they're supposed to do? Deacons serve the elders or the leaders so they can lead. And deacons lead others to serve. Elders are servant leaders, and deacons are leading servants. In other words, they lead in the area of service, that they are to serve. We see in Acts 6:1 that there was a specific task that they were about here. It says, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews. Those were ones who were proselytized Greeks, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. Okay, so you need to picture what's going on here. So there's this mass conversions that have been happening. So there's like thousands of people that are coming to Christ. Remember, it was that Passover season, so there was people from all over the known world were converging on Jerusalem if they were followers of God. And so there was just a lot of people there, period. And so then there was, we saw the one point where Peter was preaching and like 3,000 come to know the Lord. And so you've got all these people, some of them from out of town. So, you know, it's kind of like Jesus and Mary going to Nazareth, and they're like, or Bethlehem, it's like, well, there's no room. Kind of the same thing. I mean, just these massive amount of people. So they were feeding one another and taking care of one another. And you can imagine it was just probably pretty crazy. And so the issue became, well, you know, the Jewish people are getting taken care of better than those who are non-Jews. And so this was part of the issue. And so it says the 12 came together and they summoned the congregation and they said, okay, so select some people so they can serve, so that we won't neglect the word of God. And so they selected these guys to come. And so their first task was to serve tables. They were servants. But you know what? They only picked 7. And we're talking probably hundreds and thousands maybe of people they're serving. So there wasn't just those 7 serving. They were being leading servants. They were leading others in service. They were orchestrating that and organizing that. They were helping others serve also. But we also see that deacons were ministering too. In Acts 6:8, Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So here's Stephen, who was selected as a deacon, and what's he doing? He's doing basically the same thing the apostles were doing. He's out there showing signs and miracles to prove that when he's speaking the gospel, it's true. So he's out there talking about God. In Acts 22, verse 20, it talks about Stephen again, where it calls him a witness. It says, and when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, that he was a witness to Jesus Christ. And then in Acts 8, 5, it talks about Philip, who was another one of the 7. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. So Philip was preaching the gospel. So it's not just, you know, service waiting on tables. They were out there preaching the gospel. I mean, they were doing all of it. Not unlike what we're to do. Just the average person sitting out here in the pew. That we are to be servants. We are to preach the gospel. We're really to do it all as God has called us to do in our circle of influence. Acts 21:8 continues to talk about Philip. It says, on the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the 7, we stayed with him. So he's got this reputation of being an evangelist, out there preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus, not just waiting on tables. And there's another interesting thing here. It actually gives a benefit to serving well as a deacon. In verse 13 of 1 Timothy 3, it says, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So those who serve well, those who are motivated, it says, by holding to the mystery of the faith in verse 9, those who are motivated by the gospel and serve well are to be highly esteemed in the church. That these people are important as they serve well. They're not to be considered slaves, like the term would say, but servants who serve well, who should be esteemed highly. And then having great confidence in their faith. So as they serve, as they're doing what God's called them to do, whether it's washing the floor or cleaning toilets or whatever it might be out there preaching the gospel, if they're doing what God's called them to do in their service, the Holy Spirit within them is going to resonate with that. I mean, some of you may understand this. Coming in and cleaning the toilet at the church and being happy about it, having joy in that. And some of you are thinking, really? I don't even like doing that at home. But yet, those who are called to do that literally can have that joy in that, in where they serve. And we're all called to serve in different places. So how do we take these things and apply them to us? Well, last week we asked three questions about looking at leadership. This week I want us to ask three questions of ourselves. Because all these qualifications are something that we really need to look at as followers of Jesus Christ. Does our inner life match our public image? Who we are really inside, where nobody sees, does that match how we live our lives, what people see in us? And they can say, wow, that person, that high character, a lot of integrity. They live what they say. They're believers of Jesus, and that's how they live. Or would it be when someone finds out you're a Christian and they go, oh, really? I would have never guessed that. Would our family confirm our faith? If we asked our wives or our kids, so what kind of faith? Do they live out what they say? And would the world verify our character? So as we're out there in the world, would they say, oh yeah, yeah, that person's a follower of Jesus Christ. And that draws me to Jesus because of how I see them living their lives. It doesn't push me away from Jesus because I how I see them living their lives. And that can happen. We're to be selfless. In Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. That's probably one of the hardest things for us as human beings to do. Consider someone else more important than me. It's hard. Some days it's easier than other days. But some days it's harder than other days. And then being a servant, having that servant attitude. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, it says, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. You know, you're all, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a saint. That's how you're considered here. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So it's all of our jobs. It's all of our jobs to be out there serving Christ and serving other people. And trying to figure out, so what can I do to reach my neighbor? How do I show my neighbor love so that my neighbor then will go, what, you know, this Jesus thing you're talking about, that's interesting because I see how you live. Maybe I want to know more about that. You know, there's this come and see kind of a thing that happened throughout Jesus' ministry. I mean, you saw people doing that. They would hear Jesus, and man, they would go find somebody and say, you need to come hear this guy. He's saying things with authority, things that I've never heard before. There's something about him that's different. You know, and hopefully the church is a place for that to happen. It's not come and see Pastor Kevin, it's come and see Jesus. I mean, that's what this needs to be about. And they need to see Jesus in all of us. Because I really believe that the relationship really is where it's at. As we develop a relationship with someone. You know, there's Billy Graham has done great things in huge settings. But where it really sticks is when that person then has a relationship with another believer and they learn what it is to really be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because it's easy to go to the big events and get all fired up. Remember Promise Keepers, guys? Man, I struggled with Promise Keepers. And so much of it was that the big rah-rah event, but then the guys had come back and they never lived it. Part of that was on the church because we should have come alongside of those guys and helped them live it. But we need to be so careful that we are living what we say. And that when people see our lives, they see Jesus. And it draws them. Now, that's not going to be the case for everybody because we see that in Scripture. There are some, when they see Jesus in us, are going to get angry. They're not going to like it because what it does is it shows them who they really are. It shows the sin in their life. And so not everybody's going to be happy to know someone who's a follower of Jesus Christ. It's just the way it is. But that shouldn't deter us from living out Christ in the world so that they can see who Jesus really is. And this servant attitude, this selflessness is something that the world looks at and thinks of as weakness. What? You're putting yourself in that position? Why in the world would you want to do that? No, you got to go for it. You got to be the top dog. You got to be the number one. I don't think that's what Jesus said. I think he said something about he who wants to lead needs to be the least. You know, that's opposite of what the world says. So go out there and live like you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Be a servant. Be selfless. Be loving. That doesn't mean you let people walk all over you, but you need to show Christ to the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And there's some hard things in here sometimes when we look at this, especially this idea of being a servant, being selfless, literally being a slave. And that just kind of goes against everything that's in us sometimes. And yet, that was the picture of Jesus. One who should have come to this earth to be served because he was God, chose to serve. He didn't choose to take that authority and who he was and kind of hold that over anybody. But he came with love. He came with authority. And people saw something different in him. And there really was those two sides. Either they were drawn to him or they were repelled by him because of their sin. Father, help us to be ambassadors for Christ. Help us to be servants. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just...